Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is actually a compound text. There'll be two texts for our sermon this morning. One being an Old Testament prophecy, and the second being the New Testament fulfillment of that prophecy. The first is taken from Isaiah chapter 50 in verse 7. We read, "I have set my face like a flint." Now this particular statement is set in the context of Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 7, which is an Old Testament prophetic passage which spoke of Jesus Christ's first advent. So this is actually God the Son speaking prophetically through the prophet Isaiah here. "I have set my face like a flint." The second passage is taken from the book of Luke, which is the record of the fulfillment of that specific prophecy. Luke chapter 9 in verse 51 reads, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." So let us consider the resolve and the steadfastness of the Savior this morning. To this end, we will accompany the Lord on his journey to Jerusalem. So let us join his disciples on the road. They are perplexed by the words of the Lord that had been spoken to them. Jesus had just said this, "Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand this saying. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." Now, this is not a heartless response on the part of the Lord, as it may appear on the surface. It seems to be pretty discompassionate, doesn't it? If somebody said that to us, we'd probably take offense. But the idea here is that this was a man who was waiting for his father to die so that he could collect the inheritance money and have enough to live on so he could be comfortable. Then he'd go follow Jesus. Like once he retired, when he had a little more time and a little more, you know, wherewithal. And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." Again, a very time-consuming process in the context of the that statement in that day. But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Remember Lot's wife. So as we continue walking this road with the Lord this morning, we hear some half-hearted disciples in our company begin to make excuses. We're tempted to make excuses also. We can come up with other excuses than these, right? But Jesus is going to see right through us. He's going to see right through the excuses and right to the heart. So will you offer up your excuse? Or will you hold your peace this morning? You know, Jesus had a tougher road than you and I will ever have. And I don't hear Jesus making excuses anywhere along his journey. He simply states the fact, and he relies upon his Heavenly Father to get him through one trial at a time. Some in this company are undecided. And I think I hear Peter taking a few of them aside and counseling them after this manner. To whom shall we go? It is Jesus who has the words of eternal life. So, let us keep going. Notice the composure of the Lord. It's pretty amazing. He's just told us the end game. And yet he's not wavering. It may be that you or I have to go through some serious stuff in life, be it in the short term, intermediate, or long term. Imagine if we knew what we had to go through before we had to go through it. It's difficult enough for us to take one day at a time as it is. Most of us would probably worry ourselves to death. So the Lord has graciously kept it to himself. Well, the Lord, the omniscient Christ, knows all. And I think I hear him say, I have set my face like a flint. At times our journey is difficult, but when we begin to worry, the Lord Jesus sits us down and reminds us to get our priorities back in order, saying, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So strengthened for the journey, we take heart and we continue. Well, the Lord Jesus has much to teach us. Some things he tells us plainly. Other things we learn through parables. His wisdom and his truth. His ways of getting God's honest truth across to us amaze us. Now, our final destination is Jerusalem. And there are many things that make an impression upon us as we journey. Some things more than others. But as a fellow traveler, a fellow pilgrim, I recall a particular event in the Lord's life. So, let us join Jesus at Zacchaeus' house in Jericho. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. O heaven of heavens! Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Fourfold restitution was required under the law for the theft or neglect of a sheep who was in one's possession, which represented the livelihood of another. So Zacchaeus had been making his money off of the backs of those who toiled day in and day out just to make ends meet. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So Zacchaeus was a great sinner. But now, he is a child of God. And having been witnesses to this event, many of us remember our own salvation. When we came to the point where we realized that we were great sinners, that there were amends that needed to be made vertically to the Lord, and as the Lord worked His perfect work in us, we realized that we also had duty to others. Perhaps you are like Zacchaeus, a man or a woman of the world. And Jesus has impressed you with this display of compassion. Please then, join us. For it is time to witness the triumphal entry into Jerusalem of our Lord. We continue on that road to Jerusalem, and suddenly, having been separated from the Lord's presence in His incarnation for a brief time, and being among the crowds, we hear the people shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And you realize that this is Jesus. This is your King. Coming lowly, humble, on a donkey. And so, you join the chorus. The Pharisees are telling you to be quiet. You know the guys with the fancy headdresses and the tassels, the phylacteries, those who stand at the street corners making long and ostentatious prayers that they might be heard by men. If the Shema is not enough, they must speak the Shemoneh, that we might be impressed with their great knowledge. But Jesus points out that if the people fail to cry out, even the stones will cry out the praises of the King. But this is not what Jesus had set his face towards in Jerusalem. It's not why he came for the praise. He did not take this road for himself, but he took it for you and I. So as the week wears on, the people, especially the religious crowd, rises up in opposition to the Lord. Now the Passover is at hand. Jesus will celebrate this with the 12, and then he will retire to the Garden of Gethsemane for prayer. So Friday morning we wake up, and there is a tumult inside the city. Overnight, Jesus has been arrested. We hear from our fellow pilgrims who had come to the feast, and from others, that some illegal proceedings had gone on in the middle of the night. that our Lord had been abused by those whom he had called his own, and who had received him not. And that as the evening turned to morning, a trial would take place. That the Lord of glory would be condemned to death by crucifixion, a most horrible death, a death which he must suffer to pay the penalty for our sins. His hands and his feet would be pierced through, just as it was written. So we follow him at a distance. Some of us attempt to get to the front lines, but we're held back by the Roman soldiers, those who are trying to keep law and order in these proceedings. Others of us try to blend in with the crowd, fearful for what men might do to us. We see many of the disciples, even some of the 12, are far back in the crowd, hiding behind the trees and wherever they can make themselves scarce. We see one courageous Gentile proselyte, Simon of Cyrene, boldly approaching the Lord of glory. And I think I might have caught a glimpse of the disciple whom Jesus loved, the Apostle John, and his mother Mary, following him along that road. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. So we watch in disbelief, once again amazed at the composure of the Lord, his face still set like a flint. And he's asking forgiveness of God for his murderers, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." 3 hours pass. Now, it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So you find yourself asking, is this what Jesus set his face like a flint to do? Is this what Jesus set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem for? And then you get it. The light goes on. You finally understand. He did this for me. Through Christ's physical death, we receive spiritual life. And to put his seal on the matter, he rose again the third day, as a guarantee. And if this were not enough, following his ascension, he would send another helper of the same kind, the Paraclete, a comforter, God the Holy Spirit. It's a done deal. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it. His sacrifice was complete. We could not come to God while in our sins, but now Christ has paid for our sins in full. So, skeptic, unbeliever, will you come to God through Christ now? So, Christian, though you may have made excuses at the beginning of your journey on the road to Jerusalem, I hope that now you're done with them and ready to get serious about following Jesus, seeing that he has paid so great a price for your soul because he loves you. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may you impress all of your words and all of the things that Jesus Christ did upon the heart of everyone in attendance and in the hearing of this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.